Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us with Meet Me at the Diner, your host, Ann Eller. Today, we have the one and the only Jim Bohannon in the studios at Sharp Facets Gallery. Here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We have Jim sitting here. He is just got here about 10 or 15 minutes ago, and I asked him what we were going to talk about here today, and he goes, Ann, we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. So if you've got a question today, how about give us a call, and we'll put it on the air. That's right, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Jim Bohannon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Ann. Thank you for having me on.
Well, you know, it's always a pleasure to have you on. I guess you're here in South Carolina for Thanksgiving.
I am. That I am.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it's really neat. You've told us you actually can do your show right there from your house.
We do. We have a four-bedroom house. It's now three bedrooms and a studio. That's right. And it's just like doing it any other time, except, of course, the guests aren't there, and the dress code is considerably more casual.
So you can do the show in your PJs if you want.
Or yes, I call it TSA casual.
TSA casual.
Yeah.
Well, you know, did you have to fly or did you drive?
Oh, we drive, and we have flown. The connections, honestly, between Washington and GSP aren't the greatest, and the cost is pretty high. If you fly into Atlanta, you've still got 100 miles to drive, so it's easier just to drive, about 8.5 hours.
8.5 hours, yeah. Okay. Well, you know, actually, I don't think I've been on a plane in about 2 years now.
You haven't missed a thing.
That's what I'm beginning to think. And, you know, everybody is talking about this TSA. And one of my questions is, you know, we had the bomber last year at the underwear bomber.
Underwear bomber, yeah.
At Christmas last year, right?
Yeah.
And they just have started this policy.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I figured that they would probably follow up with what they did with the shoes, which everybody would have to take off their underwear, which would have made for longer lines, more interesting lines, but longer lines.
It would have been easier not to wear any underwear.
It would have been that.
Yeah.
It truly would have been that, but now we have this. I mean, you know, if they just hired strippers and Chippendale dancers, I don't know they would have had so many complaints.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe not. But why do you think that they've decided to start it now? I mean, do you think we're under bigger threat?
I have no idea. The timing strikes me as odd. I can't imagine why they would have chosen now. And the what, of course, is much more intriguing than the when. I just don't see this as the answer. There are any number of things that you can be doing. Certainly, we're going to have to get into some more profiling, issuing, I think, of biometric ID cards. You can prove who you are. We may have to start putting more passengers on planes with weapons, perhaps with bullets that'll do damage to flesh but won't poke a hole in the fuselage. Are there any number of things that you can think about? I am told that the fellow who devised the current program for the screening, the body scanning, I've been through that one once, that he has a way to kind of funhouse mirror the image so that you can still see anything that shouldn't be there, like explosives, but you no longer get a Playboy centerfold out of it. And apparently he's explained this to the TSA and said all you have to do is make this little tweak in the program and nobody will be staring at anything. And the TSA apparently just sort of brushed him off.
Well, I find it interesting that all the people that are setting this up and everything, none of them have to go through any of this screening.
It was interesting that the speaker-designate Boehner went around the security the other day. I don't think that most members of Congress can do that, but I believe the congressional leadership gets to go around the screening.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, Hillary Clinton was on, of course, everywhere on Sunday talking about it.
And asked by Bob Schieffer on Face the Nation if she would want to do that. She said, no, of course not. Who would?
Right.
We've got to go beyond this. And frankly, we're going to have to do something people hate to do. We have to profile.
Right.
I mean, we really do. I'm sorry, but let's face it, the little girl who wound up crying because she was being molested, little old granny, blue-haired granny, the guy on the walker. I'm sorry, they're probably not going to blow up your plane.
Right.
And yes, that if in fact it takes a bucket of phlegm to pronounce your name and you're wearing a turban, that probably raises the likelihood that you are. Now, I know that a lot of people get really upset about this, but let's look at it if the shoe was on the other foot. Let's assume that Christianity was plagued by a militant minority, maybe 10% of Christians, which would be maybe, you know, 100 million of them around the world, and they go around flying planes into the holy sites at Mecca and Medina and blowing up mosques and hijacking airplanes. I might not be happy about being profiled, but I certainly wouldn't blame the people at the airport. I would blame these militant Christians who were perverting my religion.
Sure.
I would expect to be profiled.
Right. Exactly.
I'm sorry, but if that offends somebody, well, that's too bad. You're too easily offended.
Well, we seem to be too easily offended.
Oh, we are far too easily offended.
I mean, even in conversation, I mean, you say something, you know, you have to apologize all the time for what you say. I mean, it used to be in the old days, you said it and people got over it, didn't they?
They did, or they weren't bothered about it in the first place. But today we have an awful lot of people who are, as I tend to put it, desperately seeking moral superiority. They are desperate to do anything that can prove how morally superior they are to you. And oh, what a burden it is to be so much better than you are. I mean, and that's almost their reason for existence. And of course, in the process, they wind up being morally and logically inferior in many regards.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so you think this is going to go on. The question, though, is why is it going on? That is, to me, the question.
Well,
I think we got to be under a more attack than what we realize.
Well,
they must know something.
They might know something, although there was at least one case, I guess, in which, I don't want to get too indelicate, but in which a body cavity bomb went off in an attack on an Arab prince. And you're going to see more of that. But, of course, there's a question of how far you go, even assuming that you wish to go that far.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that somebody, in fact, sets off a body cavity bomb. Even assuming that we all went to body cavity searches. Obviously, we wouldn't. Obviously, people would draw the line. But let's assume that we did that.
Right. Okay. This
is good. I can tell you what's next.
What?
Very simple. You take a bunch of these young suicide bombers, and they are all taken to a hospital over there in Yemen or wherever, and they're all given appendectomies, even though their appendix isn't about to burst. But they got the scar. You open them up, and you place inside where the appendix used to be a small explosive. Sew them back up. Let it heal. Now it's just another appendicitis scar. Now tell me how you detect that. You don't.
You don't.
I'm simply saying that no matter what measures we take, there is another measure they can take. And if you really want an answer, it is that the civilized people of the world start demanding civilized behavior on the part of the barbarians. And if necessary, these countries need to be taken over one by one and put under some form of United Nations trusteeship status, taught how to self-govern.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't have room for malignant societies on this planet anymore.
Well, we could just shoot them off into space.
Well, that would be a little expensive.
But not a bad idea, Ann.
Not a bad idea. I've written it down. I'm thinking about it.
All right. I'm here with Jim Bohannon, and he is right here sitting across from me. Hey, if you got a question, give us a call. If you'd like to comment on what Jim's just talked about, hey, do it right now. Give Jeff a call, 229-7984. I'm Ann Eller here with Jim Bohannon. Let's hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold dust at my feet.
This year will be a simpler year, one fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love, a diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
You're here with us at Meet Me at the Diner. Your host, Ann Eller. Our special guest today is none other than Jim Bohannon. Here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We're here with Jim. We're talking a little bit of politics. Who knows what we're going to talk about, but we just got a call from Lisa Richards. She wanted to know, did you spend some time down in Cocoa Beach area 25 years ago?
It depends. I know my attorney tells me to evade this question. Lisa, I was young, I was foolish, I was an impressionable kid. Okay. No, let's see, not 25 years ago, no. I did spend a little bit of time in the Cocoa Beach area in Melbourne, Florida, at my affiliate there, WMMB. When was that? In the general vicinity of 10 to 15 years ago, but not 25.
Not 25. No. And she also wants to know, how do you look now?
How do I look now? Much older.
Much older.
Much older, yeah. Not all like you remember me, no. No, the resemblance to Tom Cruise has faded somewhat.
Jeff likes to say that we had a young person one time who was looking at pictures from his past and everything, and she'd look at the pictures, and she'd look at Jeff, and she'd look at the pictures, and she'd look at Jeff, and then finally she looked at him. When was it that you got ruined?
When my warranty expired, my dear. One day after the warranty expired, I went from Tom Cruise to this.
That's right. All right. Well, anyways. Now, then she also wanted to say that, don't you think it's time for President Obama just to come out and say he's sorry, but we do need to profile people?
It is time for him to do that. I don't know that he can ever bring himself to do that. He is such a partisan of the PC police that I don't know that he will never certainly say those words. I hope that at least we edge in that direction, because it's unfortunate, and I don't welcome the fact. But this is the way the world is. I don't welcome the fact that it's a nasty world. But I'm not prepared to pretend that it's some other way. It's this way. This is how it is.
This is the reality.
Yeah,
this is the reality. I had somebody yesterday on my show. He's our Main Street to Wall Street guru from Edward Jones, Phil Biffle. He said that this the TSA situation we have going there with the groping and everything is because the Democrats lost the election. It's just what they've come back with.
Let me put it this way. I doubt very seriously if Barack Obama, Harry Reid, and Nancy Pelosi got together and said, hey, on our watch, we've done a lot of things that caused us to lose the House and darn near lose the Senate. How can we make ourselves more unpopular? I know. Let's unleash the TSA to grope people. They didn't have that conversation.
You don't think so, huh?
I mean, anytime I see a move that could be politically popular, I automatically assume that politics could be at play. When I see a move that is extremely politically unpopular, it's hard for me to attribute politics to that unless they are just far more stupid than I think they are. And another thing that has to be said, I don't like being scanned, although I have been once. Don't like being groped. Haven't had to do that. But it sure beats getting blown up. Well, it would depend on the circumstances.
Okay,
Anne.
All right. I'm sorry.
There are circumstances under which that would be just dandy.
Okay.
I'm for that.
Okay.
But these are not those circumstances.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to clarify it.
No, you're... I am not anti-grope. I'm selectively anti-grope.
Selectively anti-grope. Okay. All right. Well, anyways, you know, one of the things that I think a lot of people thought when the election happened is that, you know, it was going to be a new day if the Republicans got into office. And what do you think is going to be the outcome of next year, 2011?
Stalemate, pretty much, because the public has spoken. Stalemate. The public gave us the Democrats in Congress in 08, 06, I should say, and Barack Obama in 08. And now they've taken back the House and given to the Republicans in 2010. And effectively stripped Barack Obama of working majorities in the Senate. So Congress was supposed to reflect the public. The public voted for gridlock. It's what they're going to get. And until 2012, when presumably the public will cast a tiebreaker, you're going to see very little done. The president, of course, cannot get much through this Congress. On the other hand, you can't repeal Obamacare because there's no two-thirds vote in each House of Congress for the Republicans to override a veto.
So health care is going to stay.
There are some things they can do about health care. All revenue bills have to originate in the House of Representatives, now under solid Republican control. They could starve Obamacare to death and simply appropriate zero money for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very seriously on the table.
What do you think about the tax cuts? Everybody is real nervous about the tax cuts.
at least it's an easy area for compromise. You're going to find a dollar figure, and they're going to compromise because neither party wants to be known as the party that killed all of the tax cuts. They're going to reach a compromise, probably something like this $1 million level. They're going to extend the tax cuts for everybody except people who make more than $1 million a year. And I've always said, since the whole point of not taxing the wealthy is that you want them to create jobs, hey, if they can prove that their money was used to create jobs and not just buy a second home on the French Riviera, let them tax deduct it.
There you go.
That's fine. I mean, I say sock it to them unless they create jobs, in which case, thank you. Here's a tax break.
You know, I interviewed Alvin Green.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I interviewed Alvin Green, and one of the questions I asked him was about the tax cuts and where he sat on that. And I said, but Alvin, what about these people? Do you believe in the American dream and working hard? Yes, yes, yes. Well, do you think you should be able to keep your money if you work hard for it? And he goes, well, Ann, here's the answer. They'll just be a little less comfortable, but they'll still be comfortable. That was from Alvin Green.
That's not bad from Alvin. Better than many I've heard from Alvin.
Right.
I was telling Ann off air, if you hadn't heard this, but during a recent interview, Alvin Green, Democratic Senate nominee this past year, apparently his problem in losing by a landslide to Jim DeMint was he aimed too low. He says, and I can only repeat what he said, that he is going to be the next president of the United States. He said that in an interview, I forget where, somewhere here in South Carolina.
Don't you think politics are real interesting here in South Carolina? We keep things interesting here
in
our little state.
You do. You absolutely do. Of course, few things will ever top and I've tried to find this on MapQuest. I have been unable to get from the Appalachian Trail to Argentina. I know it's doable because we have a prominent South Carolinian who, in fact, aimed for the Appalachian Trail and just wound up in Buenos Aires. But I've yet been able to figure out how you do that.
Do you know what his next job is going to be?
I would hate to. TSA inspector? I don't
know. No. He's going to be a greeter down there when the Olympics are coming up, see? There you go. He's going to be a greeter down
That's
there.
That's good. I like that. That's good. He'll be great.
Yeah, he will be great.
Yes, he will.
But, yes, we have interesting politics here in South Carolina. And we don't hesitate to let everybody know about it.
Well, I mean, those are only some of the more prominently advertised such cases. You can find similar stories in other states from time to time. And South Carolina has got a proud political heritage, occasionally marred by a few individuals.
Yes, this is true. We do happen to keep things interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, when I was interviewing all the politicos, I actually interviewed, I think, just about everybody that affected our area except for Nikki Haley. She was the only one that I never was able to get on the air with me.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
I was, too.
I'll be very curious as to how she's going to do. My guess is she'll do all right.
Yes, I am. Well, you know, we're all hopeful that she certainly
sure.
will.
Absolutely.
But when I found out that Channel 7 News couldn't get a sit-down with her, I didn't feel too bad, Jim.
Well, no, I would think not. You're in good company.
That's right.
You're in good company. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We're talking to Jim Bohannon. That's right. He's on WLMA from
10 p.m. till 1 a.m.
That's right. And
Do you repeat me from 4 to 7?
Yeah, we do.
Very good. We just love
hearing you, Jim.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm looking for the All Jimbo channel, just repeated 24/7 continuously.
Hey, didn't you say something about that Your America in the Morning is in a movie?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, this movie, 127 Hours, which is about the guy who got trapped under some rocks and had to cut off his arm, it's a true story.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
I've heard about that.
But in the middle of the movie, and I haven't seen it, I've had it described to me, in the middle of the movie, there is some place where a radio montage is played, and it's America in the Morning, my show. And it wasn't just picked at random. They contacted Westwood One, my company, and asked for permission to use that, which, of course, was given instantly. And I'm rather proud of that.
Wow.
I mean, it isn't every day you get that. If you ever see the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right at the beginning, there's a disc jockey establishing that you're in Chicago. The guy's name is Fred Winston.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be his sidekick in Chicago. And now I can write Fred and say, I've equaled you. I, too, have my movie.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It really is.
When did that movie come out? Just very recently.
September, was it?
September?
Or maybe not. No, I take that back. More recently.
Okay, so it just came out.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we are here with Jim Bohannon. It is time for South Carolina News and a word from our sponsors. So please stay with us and give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back. Ready to race
to you. What does WLMA stand for? Well, it stands for Wow, Let's Meet Again, right here on 1350 AM, Greenwood and the Lakelands News Talk radio station.
Welcome back to Meet Me at the Diner, your host, Ann Eller. Our special guest is Jim Bohannon. Here is your host, live from Sharp Betts' Gallery, Ann Eller.
Yes, that's right. And if you recognize that voice, it's the voice that's on WLMA every night, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 1 in the morning, and then he comes back on from 4 to 7. So welcome to the show here. It's good to have you here in studio today.
And it is good to be had, Ann. Thank you.
Yeah, well, this is fun. You know, while we were sitting here waiting for the news, they did just say that Alvin Green, yes, has announced that he wants to run for president. That was just on South Carolina News.
Was it? Yeah.
Yep, so it is out there, and he's talking about it. So we'll just see where Alvin goes on this. You know, the thing about Alvin, he doesn't have to say a lot.
No, he doesn't. Certainly, I think the criminal court record pretty much speaks for itself.
Absolutely. And, you know, when he was on, when I interviewed him, one part of the time he played his rap song. I mean, we got to hear his rap song.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, we did hear that. Anyways, that was one of the more interesting interviews
I did.
And it was a call-in interview, actually.
Uh-huh.
And he actually talked for half an hour.
Well, good for him. He's opening up a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyways, you know, we were talking about people that you had interviewed and everything, some of your favorite interviews. You were telling us about George Foreman.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, George Foreman, the boxer. I had a chance to interview him, and I asked him why he was so open and gregarious now, and he had been such a harsh, scowling, dour person when he first came on the boxing scene. And he said, I was always an open, fun person, but growing up on the mean streets of Houston, you couldn't show that, or you'd get in serious trouble. So I had to act tough, and then when I went home, I was fun.
Right.
He said, now I've reached the point in my life where I'm successful and I don't have to be anybody but me. He said, this is the real George Foreman.
Yeah, the George Foreman Grill, right?
That's right, the George Foreman Grill.
That's right. Now, but you were also talking about Larry Hagman, having him on the air.
Oh, Larry Hagman. He's almost a diminutive character, because I'm a pretty big guy. I guess most people seem diminutive to me, but somehow J.R. Ewing seemed bigger than Larry was. But just great fun. And Larry was extremely open, and he was one of the few times I ever had to bleep a guest. We're sitting there, we're talking about some group or another, and Larry says, well, bleep them. And I said, what? And I hit the little button that erased it, you know, and he didn't seem to get that you're not supposed to say that on the radio. But an interesting guy. I had a lot of fun interviewing Larry Hagman.
Well, they had him on Sunday morning this last Sunday. They're looking at doing a remake of Dallas.
It'll never be as good.
No, it won't. And they asked him if they were going to ask him to be part, and he didn't really answer. So I don't know. But, you know, he's very well preserved.
Yeah.
He looks the same on TV as he did.
I interviewed him not more than, I guess, 3 or 4 years ago, and he looked about the same as he did on TV, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, good for him, right?
Yeah, you bet.
Absolutely.
Must be taking Lena Horne shots or extract of Dick Clark or something.
Extract of Dick Clark. There you go. All right, well, listen, we just had a question come in, and let's see. They said try to get Gates on your show or some ex-CIA heads.
Well, that would be good. We've had, I'm trying to think of who we've had on. We had a number of people connected with the CIA over the years, but that would be a great idea.
Yeah.
We'll try to do that, yeah.
That would be an interesting conversation.
I had Rumsfeld on many, many years ago, but before he became defense secretary.
So who would you like to interview? Who would you that you haven't gotten to?
Any sitting president, the Pope, I guess I would like to interview Lady Gaga just so I could say I did. I must confess that my first question to her would probably be, why should I care about you? That would probably be my first question. A little disrespectful, I suppose, but Other than that, most of the pop culture and certainly reality show genre, forget about it. I'm not the least bit interested. I wish I could have interviewed Katharine Hepburn before she passed away. I think
Absolutely.
That would have been marvelous to talk to her. Humphrey Bogart, who was way, way before my time. That was not going to happen. And other possibilities, I think Vladimir Putin would make a fascinating guest. This guy really is nostalgic for the good old days of the evil empire, but he's very slick and he's very shrewd, former KGB type. I think he'd make a fascinating interview.
That's a good idea.
One of the shrewder people on this planet, Vladimir Putin.
Well, we can't really relax, can we, out there in the world?
No, we cannot relax. It's a very dangerous world. I wish we could, but we cannot relax. And yet, in so many ways, that's precisely what we're doing. We're relaxing in too many ways. We're still into profligate spending. We're still running headlong toward bankrupting the country. We can't seem to tell the difference between friends and enemies. And that's another sign of weakness on our part.
How do you think this happened? Why do you think it happened? How did it happen?
Partly it happened because, frankly, more members of the public can tell you who came in second place on Dancing with the Stars than who represents them in Congress. That's a large part of it right there. We're a very ignorant, free people. And people don't tend to stay both ignorant and free. If you are either one, you probably... not be if you are ignorant, you probably won't stay free, and if you wish to stay free, you're going to have to become educated. And we don't require that anymore. We're always making excuses for people. We seem to think that if young people hang around a building containing a library, that knowledge will sort of be absorbed by them, osmosis like.
Yeah, one of the courses that in politics that kept coming up over and over again, whether it was our superintendent of education people or other politicos, was that we need to teach civics in school.
Yes.
And we
yes.
have forgotten about civics.
Oh, we have. We absolutely need to be teaching that big time. I don't know why we don't. One of the greatest things about the Tea Party movement was the fact that they would actually have people reading aloud the Constitution of the United States, the rule book of the freest, most prosperous, most stable society in history.
Don't you find it interesting that we could have written it, that a document could have been written over 200 years ago, and it can still be relevant today?
Oh, totally. And not only that, but copied by virtually every other country, including many which don't practice what's in their constitution, but it's modeled after ours. Oh, yes. I, for example, before it went away, I read the Constitution of the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
Marvelous document. Some ways superior to ours. Of course, we actually follow ours, and they never did follow theirs. But
well, we kind of follow ours, right?
Well, yeah. We sort of follow it,
right,
yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, you know, that is one of the things that some of the people that have gone back to Congress carry a copy of their Constitution. I think we've got one right here on the table.
I have one right here in my bucket.
Yep, I've got one right here.
The Cato Institute puts out a copy of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution.
Right, there you go.
And fits in your pocket. And when I'm in a line someplace...
Yes.
Instead of counting ceiling tiles or staring at the pretty women, I'll just get out this and I'll just read it. I've read the Constitution through, I don't know, four or five times.
And you always get something more out of it, don't you?
It's amazing. If you actually read it, there are some remarkable clauses in there that a lot of people have never heard of. I mean, it really is remarkable. You think you know what's in it, but very few people know all of what's in it. And I know a lot more about what's in it today than I did, say, 10 years ago.
I know a lot more about politics and everything since I started doing radio.
I'll bet you do. This is sort of like taking a sip of water from a fire hose, man.
Absolutely. You've got to believe that. Hey, we're here with Jim Bohannon. We've got another question that came up. Let's see. TSA slogan, we handle more packages than UPS.
That's very, very, very funny.
Yeah, that's Paul Reiser out in the Midwest there. He's listening on our stream right now.
Oh, that's marvelous. That's very funny.
We handle more packages than UPS. There you go.
Here's another one for them. Don't worry, our hands are warm from the last guy.
Whoa, okay. Hey, it's time for us to hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
You're here at Meet Me at the Diner. Your host, Ann Eller. Our special guest, Jim Bohannon. Here is your host, live from Sharp Facets Gallery, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We're here with the one, the only, Jim Bohannon. You've worked with Larry King in the past.
Oh, yeah.
You were a CNN reporter.
Mm-hmm.
You've done a lot in your life, haven't you, Jim?
I have, yeah. Occasionally, I'm the voiceover announcer on Face the Nation on CBS TV. I have done a lot of things. That's true. I once swatted Raisa Gorbachev, the First Lady of the Soviet Union, in the head with a microphone.
Really?
Oh, yes. May of 1988, Reagan-Gorbachev summit, Moscow. I swatted her a good one.
And why did you do that?
Well, I really hadn't intended to, but we were in this magnificent old cathedral inside the Kremlin. Ivan the Terrible's throne was in there. But these two first ladies did not like each other particularly. And they were together pretty much for their husband's sake. So it was a very small room, circular room, like a silo. And they only had room for a pool reporter arrangement. One print reporter, one television reporter, one TV cameraman, one radio reporter. That was me.
Mm-hmm.
I had this big boom microphone stuck out about, I don't know, 8 or 9 feet. And I was trying to either pick up Nancy Reagan or Raisa's interpreter.
Mm-hmm.
I had the microphone by Raisa Gorbachev's left ear. The TV cameraman was leaning in for a close-up, hit my arm, and wham, I belted her a good one. I remember she was wearing this cream-colored suit, and her hands flew up to her head, and this Soviet KGB security guard who towered over me, as big as the Washington Monument, and he said in his broken English, "Don't do that." And I thought, well, I don't plan on doing it again.
That was pretty funny. Did you hear what Barbara Bush said about Sarah Palin?
No, I missed that, but I'm sure it was caustic. Barbara's got a pretty barbed tongue.
Yeah, she said that she is a beautiful woman, but she should stay in Alaska. She seems so happy in Alaska, she should stay in Alaska. I thought that was an interesting comment.
Yes, Barbara doesn't mince too many words.
No, she doesn't.
No, she does not.
So what do you think? Do you think Sarah Palin's going to run for office for president?
I didn't until recently. I really didn't. And now, scheduling part of this book tour in Iowa, there's no question about the fact that she is at least leaving her options open. Let's not forget that the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary are less than 14 months away.
It's hard to believe, isn't
it? It is hard to believe, but that's a fact. So she's going to have to do it pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have a lot of time to sit around and wait. I think that she may give it a try. I don't think that she will probably get the nomination. There are still too many polls indicating that even Republicans who love her don't think she's qualified. And that has nothing to do with reality, although personally I think her resume is a bit light, but it's no lighter than Barack Obama's, certainly. She has not illustrated that she can go into really tough interviews and hold her own. She needs to do a lot of that. Recently, appearing with Barbara Walters, a recent interview with the New York Times Magazine, those are good steps in the right direction. She's not stupid, but she's not demonstrated a real facility with and familiarity with some of the key issues that a president will have to face. But if I had to guess right now, I would say, just a few months ago, I said no, flat no. Now I would say it's probably 60-40 that she will run.
Well, okay. So there you go. You heard it right here on WLMA from the one, the only, Jim Bohannon.
In my ever-shifting opinion.
That's right. Hey, you know, one thing I have noticed on your show here as I listen to it, you've become a little bit more outspoken here. You're putting
what's
opinions out.
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, sorry. Oh, forgive me. You said that before we went on the air, and I was thinking about that. Have I? And it didn't seem to me, certainly not consciously. I think that some people bring that out in me.
You think so?
Yes. When I hear what is a clear load of bull, it just sort of brings out the outspokenness in me.
Well, you know, you bill yourself, what, as a militant moderate?
Yeah, well, sometimes I'm a little more militant than I am moderate. That's
well, that's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? A militant moderate?
Not in the least. No, not in the least. Not if you truly believe that the extremes are bad for this country and that whenever we nominate some wacko right-wing Republican up against some wacko left-wing Democrat, you wind up with the evil of two lessers. No. I happen to believe that the sensible center is where things get done in this country. And I'm not a big fan of extreme viewpoints, period. So, no, you don't have to be on either political fringe in order to be passionate.
Oh, I agree. But why don't they work together more? Why don't they get more done that is more positive for our country? Why have we forgotten who their constituents are?
Well, for one thing, they each have very separate constituents. And in this day and age, that is very much nurtured by the media. Most people these days, when they think that their viewpoint is the viewpoint of the world, it's because that's all they ever hear. Their friends, their media choices, their radio, their TV, everything that they have, their internet websites that they visit, they all reinforce their viewpoints. And then there's another group who's just the opposite, and they're all reinforcing their viewpoints. So we don't talk as much with one another as we used to.
No, we text each other. That's what people do.
We do text each other. Yeah, we're all thumbs these days, but we tend to text only people with whom we agree. And we constantly reinforce our own viewpoints.
So much for the melting pot here in our country here and having all different views and putting it together.
Not in ideas. There's no melting pot, no.
Yeah.
Not in ideas. And that's not a good thing. I wish that it would be helpful if everybody in this country had to be exposed to opposing viewpoints. Not so that you would agree, necessarily, but at least so you would understand the viewpoint.
Not only that, it makes you think.
It should make you think. If you can listen to enough opposing viewpoints and not once can you say, oh, they've got a point there,
right,
then I don't think you're really thinking a lot. There is no one set of views, no one ideology with an absolute lock on truth.
That's
so
true.
It would be helpful if we were exposed to more of the viewpoints of other people. But even if you're convinced of nothing of what they've said, at least you've heard their arguments. Now you're better prepared to argue your case.
Exactly. You know, that's one of the things you're right about the news. They have become very centered on different, it's not just reporting anymore. It's opinion reporting.
Well, far too much is that way, and that's unfortunate that we can't get our news now any way other than pre-digested. We just don't want to hear that. No, I don't want to have to draw my own conclusions. Don't give me this raw data information. I want to be not only told what is, but why that's right or wrong. I want to be given my talking points, and that way I can be both well-informed and absolutely exist in a vacuum.
Yeah, I agree. And that is a problem with the news. You know, they talk about what Fox does, what CNN does, CNBC,
right,
all of these different ones, and they are all opinionated. So, you know, what happened to the Walter Cronkites of the world?
Well, that's the way it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess like Uncle Walter, they've passed away.
That's a shame. Yep. Well, listen, I happen to have an award for you.
Oh, my
today.
Goodness, an award?
An award for you. Yes, it's
oh,
true.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I mean, we actually already have a picture of the award posted on Facebook so everybody could see it. And yes, it's been sitting here.
Oh, for heaven's sake, under
time.
This box.
Under
it's
this
a
box.
Microphone.
Yes, and it says to Jim Bohannon for your priceless contribution to the Traveling Diner Show to support the Greenwood Soup
Kitchen. And I'm being photo-opped even
yeah,
as
yeah, exactly.
Speak.
Is this cool or
oh,
what?
This is so great. Thank you, Anne. This is wonderful. My goodness, this is the most beautiful little microphone. This has a place of honor. This will go above my home studio right atop a tape recorder. This is wonderful. Thank you. I love that. That's great.
Well, you know, I don't know if you've ever gotten this one, but, you know, we just thought you had done so much for our Traveling Diner
That's
Show.
That's really sweet of you. Thank you very much. Gosh, I love that.
Well, cool.
I love that.
I'm so glad to hear that.
What is the inscription, batteries not included? What does that mean? I don't.
Well, you know, it's talking points.
I suppose that's what it is. Talking points. Sure.
There you go.
Yeah, I will promise never to take this through TSA because it'll never get through. This will stay in my home.
All right. So that means that we'll know it'll always be in South Carolina.
It will always be in South. It'll be in Westminster, South Carolina. That's a marvelous microphone. That's beautiful. Thank you very much. I'm honored.
Well, you're quite welcome.
That's fantastic. Look at that.
Well, you know, you always help us out with being the voice on the Traveling Diner Show, and the Greenwood Soup Kitchen has done very well because of it, and they sure appreciate your efforts in our helping us raise money and awareness for them.
That's fantastic. Oh, and this just in. I think we have a this just in.
Okay, well, let's see. Billy Utes, who is age 74, just said, I believe that the Internet has enabled people to be isolationists. Cable channels not longer present a news channel. Great award. Show is a Greenwood feature. That's right. Meet me at the diner.
Oh, this is a wonderful, wonderful show, and I thank you so much. That was just marvelous of you. I do appreciate it, Ann. Thank you very, very much.
Well, you know, you're going to be on Facebook now, and we'll have pictures
there
out
go.
There.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, this
we're,
is the way it goes.
We're snapping more photos
oh,
here.
I'll tell
oh,
you
boy.
What. You know, you just can't get away from the cameras when you're here at Sharp Facet.
I know. I'm amazed.
I think he's actually a little speechless, folks.
I am slightly. I had not expected this. I had no idea. I kind of wondered what that box was doing on the table here. It never occurred to me it was hiding something. I mean, you know, it's a gift-like box, and it's a jewelry store, so I just figured it had something to do with jewelry.
Oh, for the surprise,
and it's a marvelous microphone. Jim Bohannon, for your priceless contribution to the Traveling Diner Show to support the Greenwood Soup Kitchen. And all I did was flap my mouth. But then again, that's all I do.
That's all you do.
That's
and you're very lucky to be doing that every
yes,
night, Monday
every
through
night,
Friday.
10 p.m. till 1 a.m. right here on AM 1350 WLMA.
That's right. So
and again from 4 to 7 a.m.
That's right. You are. And eventually we will have America in the Morning
oh,
on the air.
Oh, that would be
air.
Wonderful.
That's
that would
right.
be wonderful.
So you, I guess, will be headed back to Westminster?
Head back to Westminster. Yes, I am.
And are you cooking Thanksgiving dinner?
We will be doing Thanksgiving dinner. Yes, indeedy.
And then you have to head back to
Washington, D.C.
All right. Well, you have been right here with us on WLMA, right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, Jim Bohannon has been sitting right here. Jim Bohannon, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Ann Eller. It's always a privilege, and I love to be here in Greenwood.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye, Andy.
Bye, Ann.